Hello, welcome! Season 2, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. I'm Jenny Tooley, your aging ingenue. I'm so excited that you're here today. Before we jump on into this episode, I wanted to let you know I have made a new treat for you. It's the Interactive Companion Guide for Season 1. Yes, Interactive Companion Guide, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue, Season 1. Jump on over to jennytooley.com to get more information. We're also going to be offering a mentorship program this year, so make sure that you are getting your monthly newsletter so that you can get all the insider tips and info. All right, what you've been waiting for? Here we go. Hey everybody, Jenny Tooley here. How are you doing? I hope you're doing good. We are wrapping up this season of Confessions of an Aging Ingenue with a very special episode. But first, if you want this season to keep going on, if you want to extend the season, make your voice heard and I will extend the season. I will even take requests. Whoa, I know. Like, we can do a little extra encore for the season. If you want to make a request, please do. Okay, now, on to our topic for the week. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, colonoscopies. If you hadn't read the title of this episode, that was probably kind of a shock to you, wasn't it? Yeah, we're going to end the season, the butt end of the season, with a discussion about colonoscopies. Because I, if you're listening to this on the day that the episode drops, am either getting one or I'm recovering from one. Yes. So please pray for speedy recovery. I'm just going to talk about it because I think it's something we don't talk enough about. And it's like also something that seems like it has really negative connotations. Anybody I've mentioned this to, actually so many people who are over the age of 50 that I've mentioned that I have to go get a colonoscopy next week, their response is, oh, you know, I need to go do that. Some of them are closer to 60 in their 60s, and I get it. I don't want to go get a colonoscopy, you know, and there's all kinds of things that come up, other health issues, other life things, work stuff, relationship stuff. So who really wants to go take, you know, a couple of days to get the shit knocked out of them? Sorry. I couldn't resist. And I understand that. I have gotten around getting colonoscopies by doing the screenings, the Cologuard screenings. And if you don't know about that, go read up on it. It's pretty funny. You get to mail your poop. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, mail your poop in the mail or through FedEx to a company. Brilliant. Isn't it amazing that we can do stuff like that now? Anyhow, so they basically check that. That's if you're low risk or moderate risk, or they're not really concerned about family history. So I've been able to get those done once every 3 years, but this time I'm not going to be able to do that. Last year that was fine, but I've had some issues that are concerning my doctor. I'm going to talk, if you do not want to hear about this, then don't even listen, but this is part of aging and I kind of have to laugh at it, and I really truly do want to talk about it because, like I said, these are things that just happen. These are the things that we deal with, and I think they get a big stigma around them, and we get scared of them because, like, we don't talk about them openly. Okay, so yeah, I had a little bleeding that wasn't normal. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, my doctor said, let's collect some samples. So they sent me home with a little envelope and card in there that had three little doors and some tissue that you put in the toilet. I won't go on. But anyway, like, you have to avoid certain things for a week or so, and then you collect your samples, take them to the doctor. So this is what I did. Got to the doctor, handed it over with, by the time I got home, they had my results, and yes, one of them was positive for having blood in it, which meant colonoscopy, because they want to know where the blood is coming from. I'm pretty sure I know where the blood is coming from. I'm a perimenopausal woman. I get so dry sometimes that it is crazy. So my mouth is dry, everything's dry. You know where I'm going here? But better, quote, safe than sorry, or better to know than have to sit here and wonder and also have my doctor give me crap about it. In the past, there was one time that I did not take my doctor's advice, and it was just the perfectly right thing to do. This time, I feel pretty straight up that I need to listen to her and just go ahead and do it. It's not going to cost me anything, because it's a screening and it's covered by my insurance. If it costs me anything, it's going to cost me $4.70 because of how my co-pays work right now. So, colonoscopy. What I'm mostly concerned about is being put to sleep and having to ask for help. Funny that, right? I'm not worried that they're going to find cancer. I am worried about being put to sleep and recovering from that and having to ask people to help me because you have to have somebody drive you to and from the hospital when you get anesthesia. This process can take up to 2.5 hours. They really prefer the person to stay there, and I'm thinking, who on earth am I going to ask to do this? I don't have a partner that's going to do that with me. I don't have children. I don't have parents here. I don't have like a buddy girlfriend that's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take you, and then we'll get whatever. I can't get ice cream afterwards, but we'll get apple juice afterwards or whatever. And I'll make sure you're okay throughout the whole day. I don't have that person in my life. And I'm relatively new where I live. So I have to make an effort. I have to make an effort to ask relatively unknown people for help. Many years ago, I got around this when I had to go get a biopsy for HPV. I was in Al-Anon recovery at the time, and there was a little book club group, and we had emails, an email system that we used. So I was able to do it indirectly by just emailing out there, and that was already hard enough for me to send an email out and say, hi, would anybody be willing to go to the doctor with me? I have to get a biopsy and blah, 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 blah. Well, somebody stepped up. I didn't know her very well at all then, but she stepped up because in recovery, part of it is to be of service to each other. And that's the standard. Like, somebody asks for something, you do your best to step up if you can. So she stepped up, took me. It was really interesting, because we were talking about HPV stuff, cervixes, uteruses, with somebody that I didn't really know. But I loved her. She was amazing. I was so grateful that she did that. This time, I don't have a recovery group that I can just go to. I have to actually ask people directly that I'm in contact with throughout the day. So I got myself to text something. If you know, like, if you're like, what's the big deal here, Jenny? Then you don't know what this is like, and that's totally cool. I promise you there'll be more here later. But if you are somebody that has a really hard time asking for help, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The phone is like 100 pounds. It weighs 100 pounds and you can't get it to your ear. Well, I couldn't get it to my ear, but I got my fingers to text on it. And I texted a neighbor. And I just kept saying, Jenny, hit send, hit send, just hit send. It doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden, all of that fear that was in my body just cleared out, I was like, just ask. And I hit send and I moved on. You know, a little while later she got back to me. She was like, of course, sure. When do you have to go? You know, I was like, oh, thank goodness. I ran into her a couple hours after that. We chatted about it. I thanked her. She was like, you know what? I don't have anything else going on right now. I'm glad to do it. Okay. So that was the first part. Then I have a puppy. Puppy needs somebody. I was able to text. Puppy's Tia. Puppy has an auntie, Tia B. Texted Tia B. Could you come later after you get off work? Because I'm not sure how I'm going to be feeling. Could you come and hang out with puppy? I can do that. Okay, wow, that's exciting. Okay, that was really easy, right? Okay. Then there's puppy's lunchtime. So I'm having to ask three people for three things. Ah! And I'm thinking, okay, neighbor's husband, he could do it. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. And I'm making a list. And then puppy's Tia B says, I mention it to her, and she says, oh, well, how about so-and-so? I hardly know this person. She knows him. But she's right. Like, that would make perfect sense. He loves the dog. He's met the dog. He loves dogs. He has his own dogs. He'd probably be quite happy to come and give her lunch, let her out, maybe even take her on a little tripsy. Who knows? So I have yet to make that contact. But I feel so much better now that I've done that. That was like half of the fear, was asking for help and probably people saying no. Yeah, that would probably, and that would be confirming that I am in fact alone in the world and I have to be self-reliant. Ooh, that sucks, right? Oh, so that gets taken care of. Now we get to move into the part about being put to sleep. I'm not even worried about having a little camera stuck up in my butt. Nope. It's the put to sleep part. And I've been listening to people talk about it, and you know, somebody says that is actually one of my favorite times of year because it's the best sleep I get all year. So I keep thinking about that, and I'm visualizing, you know, what it's like. I've been put under anesthesia one other time in my life when I got my wisdom teeth out at like 19. I remember going to that office, and then I remember waking up in my parents' bed, and that is all. I'm concerned because I don't do I don't do like drugs well. So, and it's fear. It's like the control freak in me does not want to lose control. What's going to happen? You know, what is the underlying piece of that? There's on the other side of that thought is mostly just a feeling of fear and darkness. And I really do think, like, I guess it's because I have to hand over my whole self to, and trust that somebody that I don't know is going to take care of my body and my brain and my being. Yeah. I guess I'm also kind of afraid I won't wake up. It's like death. I had a dream when I was a kid. I wasn't very old, maybe 9. And I dreamt that I died. I was rising out of my body. Around me was all of these, it was like a kind of a circular well, kind of canyon wall thing, all around me with all of these, I don't know what you call them, ghosts, souls, something reaching out of the walls and making awful faces, and I was rising up through there, and then I woke up, and my mom said, oh, you were probably in a state of suspended animation, because I was convinced I'd died. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, It wasn't just a nightmare. There was something else about that dream that was very profound to me, and I can still see pieces of it. And I don't remember dreams very much. So maybe it's partially that, is that sense of dying. I'm going to be put to sleep. Am I going to wake back up? So what do I have to do with that? What do I have to do with that? Visualize being put to sleep, waking back up. The other thing that I'm doing, I'm sure underlying this is also, what are they going to find? But I have this very clear sense that it's fine. I don't think they're going to, quote, find anything. They're going to find that I probably have some tears and stuff in there. And some spots that have gotten rubbed wrong from all this dryness in my bowels, you know? So, what I'm doing to prepare for that is visualizing going and doing it, waking up, feeling fine, you know? I'm taking off, the day before, the day of, and the weekend after, pretty much. So I go in on a Thursday. So Wednesday is a prep day. I get to drink a lot of Miralax, Gatorade, Dulcolax, and sit on the toilet and let my colon clear itself out for a long time. So that's the day before. Then I don't get to eat anything either, which is stressful for me. Blood sugar will go block. Next day, I have the procedure, anesthesia. Okay, that's on Thursday. That's day is out. Friday, I'm probably going to be clearing out anesthesia from my body. My body is going to be like getting rid of all the medicine that got shot into it. And then Saturday and Sunday, I'm sure I'll probably feel, I don't know how I'll feel. Maybe groggy, maybe I won't. Either way, those days are going to be taken off so that I have the space to be whatever I need to be during that time. And if I need somebody to come play with my puppy, I will ask them to come play with my puppy. So there's that. And then there's this other piece of it, which is the kids in me that are scared. So I'm dealing with those by all the little comforting things I can do for myself between now and then. So the other thing they've got us doing, right? So we do Gatorade with all the laxative crap in it. Then there's certain liquid things that you can eat and certain things you can't. So what do we have? We have Jell-O. It can't be red or purple. That looks like blood. So we have Jell-O, lime Jell-O. Total kid thing. I'm gonna make a little bowl of Jell-O. Total kid yum yums, and I can eat it. Bouillon. My mom used to give me bouillon when I was sick. I remember doing that, being on the couch on all cozy. And as a juice, yes, I got some Capri Sun because that's what I drank when I was in middle school, I think. Middle school. So I'm giving them all little comfort things. And then this week and next week, I'm just going to do, you know, things I like to do and make me comfortable. Maybe I can get a massage. I have to stop taking a couple of my herbs because they'll mess with anesthesia. So I might do some acupuncture instead to help keep me calm and not, you know, anxious and freaky. And just playing and being cozy. I think that's a good word for it, cozy. So that's what I'm doing. What else? There's a lot in that, you know? There's a lot in that. And it's giving me an opportunity to expand out to my community, to deepen relationships, to discover, that there are people out there that care about me. And even if they don't care about me, they're willing to do things for other people. They're kind. giving me the opportunity to grow up is what came into my head. Take care of my kids, my inner kids, receive goodness, and let other people, let other people take care of me and take care of what they are experts at. Also a big one. Allowing the experts to do what experts do. Making sure that I feel aligned with that somatically, like my body, my brain feel good about that, and just following through for myself. So I'm taking care of me too. I get to take care of me. Yay! Okay, so this is the end of the season. Yes. Wow. What a way to end the season. I'm so grateful for you hanging out with me this season. Again, if you want to extend the season, let me know. If you have suggestions about what you'd like to hear about, either from me or people that you'd like to hear me talk to, give me a buzz. Give me a buzz, baby. And I guess that's it. It's been a wild ride. Been a little bit all over the place, and I'm happy that we have. So thank you. Love you lots. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so glad to have you with me. Ooh, if something resonated with you, I sure hope that you'll take that and expand on it in your own life. Maybe you can apply it to something that's going on with you right now. If you really want to get in on the good magic, I'd head over to JennyTooley.com and grab up an interactive companion guide for season one and check out the mentorship program, because that's where the magic's gonna happen. All right, subscribe, join, yay! Love you.